Well, I do thank you as well, as Pastor was saying, for your patience. Because trying to get everything into one message that a father needs to do, or what a husband needs to do, what a mother, that's tough. Amen? So I thank you for your patience. I will try to make tonight's shorter. It probably will be because mothers need less attention than fathers. Amen? Guys, you're supposed to say amen to that because that gets you points. Don't you understand that? All right. Well, open your Bible tonight if you would. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, that's where we're going to start. And like I said, all the other nights, I'll read the verses. You can make your notes so that you don't have to turn to all of them. But hey, dads, I got to, you know, Pastor said it last night. He alluded to it. But you can see all of this is broken down into little bits and pieces. And it would make a great devotional guide for you and your family. So just, you know, you could take a small portion like that and just do that for a Monday night devotion. It's got like one verse and some points. You know, use it as a devotional and go through this again with your kids. You know, it just, the more, right, the best way to learn it is to teach it. Reinforce it, reinforce it, reinforce it. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Father, I need your help tonight. Please be with me as I bring forth the Word of God and teach these principles. Thank you that these people have been so attentive, Lord, so appreciative of the teaching. I pray, Father, that it make a difference, that fruit would abound to your account. We love you. We thank you. Pray that you would go up and down the aisles tonight, Lord, and just touch hearts where they need to be touched. Help us to make decisions for you, and as my wife sang, to commit our home to you. For these things we do ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Unable to secure a babysitter to attend her own birthday party, a teenage mother dumped her 39-day-old daughter down the chute of the trash incinerator in her Chicago apartment rather than miss the party. In St. Paul, Minnesota, a woman bought two glasses of beer for a rather strange purchase price, her 3-month-old daughter and 16-month-old son. Arriving home from work, a Pittsburgh mother discovered the following suicide note signed by her twin 10-year-old sons. We committed suicide because we are no good and no longer a part of the family. So long from us. Sorry about this. Although they had ingested rat poison, inhaled aerosol fumes, and one even had stabbed himself in the stomach, doctors were able to save both boys. Florida authorities charged a 19-year-old woman with homicide for the fatal shooting of her own daughter. At the time of the attack, 25-week-old Brittany was peacefully snuggled in her mother's womb. And then I've got one of my own. I was in the teen ministry, working at Calvary Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, New York. And on Saturdays, we would go out and we would visit the teens at their houses. And there was one teenage girl, and she was 12 years old. And we had a really strong idea that she was pregnant. Between morning sickness and all the rest of the stuff that was going on, we thought she was pregnant. Come to find out, she was. Well, I had to make a visit. I'd make a trip to her house. I had to talk to her mother. And so I knocked on the door, and she let me in, and I came in, and I sat down, and I proceeded to tell the mother, "Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, so I guess the best thing to do is just tell you. Your 12-year-old daughter is pregnant." This woman went crazy, screaming and hollering, calling me every name in the book. "There's no way that my daughter's pregnant. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. She's 12 years old. There's no way she's pregnant." I said, "Ma'am, why do you say that there's no way that she's pregnant?" She said, "Because I never allow her to leave the house without taking her birth control pill first." 2 seconds later, mom's boyfriend walks down the stairs. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I want you to think of that parent-child relationship as depicted by two cities situated along a river. The child is located downstream. Whatever you put in the water upstream eventually flows down to your child. You know, so whether it be St. Louis and Memphis, whatever on the Mississippi, you know, those polluted waters will go to somebody. Whatever we throw in will go to somebody. And mom and dad, obviously, those things that get thrown into the water will flow downstream to your children. Job 12, verse 7 and 8, it says this, very interesting. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. You know, we can learn a lot by watching nature. God's creation. God created it. And you, interesting thing about God's creation, what he puts, what those animals do has been programmed into them by God. It's called instinct. Those animals don't sit and reason and think, and should I go here? Should I? It's instinctive. The things they do are instinctive. You know, I think about it every time my cats go to the bathroom. I go, who taught a cat to go into a litter box and then cover it all up after they're done? You know, who taught that cat that? Mom didn't. They do it as kittens. You know, so God put that in them. Well, I want to take a look at another creature tonight that God created. It's called the eagle. And we're going to look at it, and what a beautiful contrast it is between the eagle and motherhood. Look at Job chapter 39. If you don't want to turn there, just take your notes. That's fine. We're first going to look at the eagle's dwelling. And in Job 39, verse 27, the Bible says, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. I'm going to break this down. The first part we're going to look at is, doth the eagle mount up at thy command? And nature says, and studies have shown, that she can fly so high in the air that men cannot see her. Yet she can discern a fish in the water from that height. It's unbelievable. And so why do they mount up? Position of advantage is always higher ground. And you know, as we all know, as Christians, you know, if you want to have an advantage with Christ, take the high road. Often take the high road, not the low road. And be better than others. A good mother for Jesus Christ will always keep her ears and eyes open at all times. Proverbs 8:34 says, blessed is the man or woman that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Yes, she mounts up on high at thy command. The higher, the better, both for her young as well as for her own safety. The second thing is, she makes her nest on high. An eagle always builds her nest in the tallest trees or the loftiest mountain ledges. Why? Predators. Predators. The eagle has predators? Absolutely. Eagle has predators. You know, and fox and weasels and all the rest will go into that nest and kill those babies and get the eggs, or kill the babies and drag them off. Weasels especially. So it's very important that she puts it as high as she possibly can and out of the reach of predators. And I think that that's what God would have our mamas do for our children, that they be put in a position of safety far away from predators. Because if you know anything about the world, the flesh, and the devil, they all want to destroy you, your kids, your entire family. They want to destroy your testimony. You know what the devil could do? You know, some of you that have really good testimonies, been walking with the Lord for a long time, all he has to do is drop a bomb in the center of your house, and you not handle it appropriately, your testimony is shot. You're being watched. Your epistles read of all men. Your families are being watched, even if you don't think you are. No man is an island. You're not an island. You're being watched. And it's important that you do all you can to protect those babies because there are predators that want to get them. You know that. You know that even sending your kids to school. It's dangerous just to send your kids to school. So we have to be careful. You have to be careful. And the eagle builds her nest as high as possible, away from all the predators. We need to do the same. To men, it may only be a house. But to women, it's a home. It's a nest. And they have to, it becomes part of them. It's important. Now, there's a contrast with the eagle, and that's called the ostrich. And the scripture talks about it in Job 39, verse 13. And it says, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in dust," here it is, "and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear." And you say, why would God create an animal like that? The same way God says there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor in every church. Yes, in every church. Honorable and dishonorable. And you know what God does? You know what the Bible says? That He'll take a dishonorable vessel and put it right next to an honorable vessel. For what reason? To make manifest, to make it known, that which is approved. You know, how do you make something look really white? Put it next to something dark. And that it makes it manifest, that which is approved. So, you know, the same way that the eagle is such a beautiful picture of motherhood, the ostrich is a picture of what you don't want to be. And God did create both. 2 Timothy 3 says that in the last days, that men will be without natural affection. And, you know, I think of abortion when I think about that. I think of sodomy when I hear about that. I think of child abuse when I hear about that. Unnatural affection. During nest building, this is interesting, gentlemen. During nest building, the mother builds the nest, but dad gathers all the material. Dad gathers the material, and he lands down. As the female is building the nest, the male lands down on her back, and in his beak, he's got more material, gives it to her, and she continues to build while he goes to get more material. In other words, it's a joint effort. They're working together. You know, it's not just mom's job to raise the kids. It's parents' job to raise the kids, mother and father. And dad was involved in making that house a home, a nest. And they add to their nest every year. So more, they do this there. Next year they'll bring more. Next year they'll bring more. Until which time that nest weighs over 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds. That's a half a ton. And they just keep making that home better and better and stronger and more defiant against predators. And yeah, and that's what we should be doing every year. We should never get content that it's good enough. We should be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." And I have met some very, very foolish women that have done a great job at destroying their homes, destroying their marriage, destroying their children. Ended up divorced, kids all disintegrated to wherever they went once they became of age. It was very sad. And yes, in many cases, it was just mom, and she did a very good job of it. Secure children are happy children. They mature and grow up as they ought to. So just so you know that kids thrive off of security, they did a little experiment in San Francisco. They had a schoolyard that had a fence all the way around it. And they were watching and observing all the kids as they went out to play during recess. And the kids were running all over the playground, all over, just enjoying, you know, just having the time of their life. Well, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take down the fence. Not going to tell the kids we're taking down the fence. We want to take down the fence and just observe the kids. And what they observed is all the kids huddled toward the center of the playground. and didn't go near the extremities of the playground because the fence wasn't there. And even though they might not have realized it, they saw that the security that they maybe felt because they had boundaries. Children need boundaries. And that's where they felt secure. And they noticed that the children all huddled to the center of the playground once the fence was taken away. So, and another thing children need is routine. They need routine. The next point there, she dwelleth and abideth on the rock. Where you dwell is not necessarily where you abide. She dwells and abides on the rock. See, you know, just like we know that your state is not the same as your standing. You know, your standing in Christ is solid. You are saved to the uttermost. But your state could be different today versus tomorrow versus the next day, etc., etc. That has to do with your fellowship. Well, where she dwells and where she abides is not always going to be the same thing. But here with the eagle, she dwells and abides on the rock. She's to be a keeper at home. And I know that our world has pushed women out of their homes, making them feel as if they're insignificant. But what happens when a woman does become dissatisfied with being a mother and a homemaker? Proverbs 7:11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's gone. She doesn't want to be at home. She can't stand being at home. She wants out. Social media is just another way for mothers to abide elsewhere. Be careful with social media. I know, you know, there can be good in everything. There can be, you know, internet, you can have good and you can have wickedness. You know, television, you can have some good and you can have some wickedness. And same thing with, you know, social media. Some people use it to keep up with their grandkids. That's good, all right? But oftentimes, you know, we get too involved in people's business. And I really don't care to know that my buddy John got up and had his coffee and took I-40 to work. I mean, big deal. You know, I've got better things to do than to read what John's doing. And, you know, we take, what a waste of stinking time. It is. So we don't need more Facebook. We need more faces in the book. Point number four, upon the crag of the rock. Your home may be safe from intruders with deadbolts, dogs and guns, but what about the things within? The TV, the social media, the music, the videos, video games. Those video games are horrific. You think it's anything for a teenage kid today to take out a gun and shoot somebody? That's nothing. They see it on TV all the time. They see it in the movies all the time. They see it in their video games all the time. And then we wonder why girls get tough. Girls are playing those video games. And then, you know, hit them harder, kick them, Kung Fu Sally, ha-ha! You know? And yet we want to teach them to be meek and quiet? So, it's important. And again, as I said last night, what your kids are being taught in school is very much your business. I know that for a time, I don't know if it still is, but it was required reading in the state of California for all kids to read the book entitled Daddy's Boyfriend. That was required reading. Point number five, the strong place. How can we say we love our children and not give them a foundation sure enough to build upon? And we all know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The manner of the building matters, how he builds. You know, you may, you know, have a successful life, but was it according to the Word of God? It might be successful in the world's eyes, might be successful in your eyes, but was it successful in God's eyes? Take heed how you build thereupon. I mean, look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, I'm Italian. I went over there. I saw the Leaning Tower. And it's because Pisa means the marshy ground. It was marshy land where they built that thing, and that's why it's looking like this. Is it any wonder if we raise our children up on marshy ground that they're going to lead a Christian life that's like this? You know, we got to train them up right. And it matters how we build, not just the fact that we're building. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, and as I said on Sunday during Bible study, is it the master's way because he's more experienced? Is it the majority's way because they're more popular? Is it your way because, you know, it's your opinion and it's your experience? Or is it God's way? This book is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Moms, dads, this book has everything you need to raise up godly children. Everything. There is nothing missing. I've read it many times. I've studied it. I've preached from it. There's even been times when I wasn't walking with God when I tried to find the problems in it. And I couldn't. It's perfect. And it will help you raise godly seed. Let's look at the eagle's diet. It says that she seeketh the prey. Keepers at home does not mean you can't work, Mom, as I said the other day. But keeping the home is your number one priority. So the eagle, she hunts to provide meals, as do most females in nature. So just like a female lion, she does the hunting, and the male does the protecting, and he eats first after they kill, and they all get out of the way, and here comes Mr. Male, and he eats first. And I kind of like it that way, but myself. Just remember that, Jen. But it's important that you provide good meals. I'm talking physical now. Now I'm not talking spiritual. You know, if you just fed kids what they like to eat, they'd probably weigh 400 pounds and have, you know, 62,000 zits on their face and no hair. Seriously, because they don't want nutrition. They could care less about nutrition. Candy-coated popcorn, peanuts, and a prize. They'll have Cracker Jacks every night for dinner. You got to feed them what's good for them. And that's what Mama Eagle did. Mama Eagle provided the meals. She did the hunting. She sought the prey. It's not McDonald's. It's not microwave. It's not Kentucky Fried. It's not Sonic. And that's why we have so much childhood diabetes today. You know, it's unprecedented, the level of diabetes in kids today. And, you know, I fight the battle of the bulge. I don't know if you do, but the Western diet is destroying us, destroying our health. So just to seek out, you know, as according to God's Word, healthy alternatives for your kids. Because we're not just talking about bones and muscles. We're talking about the brain. They need good food. Mama Eagle gave them the best. Proverbs 31:15, it's not in your notes, but I read it the other night. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. That is the Proverbs 31 woman. She got up early to provide what needed to be fed to her household. All right, the second thing, her eyes behold afar off. As far as protection, while hunting, they studied the eagle, and even while hunting, she keeps her eyes on her nest. She can see her nest at the same time she's hunting to be able to protect her young. And Mom, we can get distracted with a million other things around the house. You could be doing this or that or that. I mean, there's a million things to do in a house. That's why I would never want to be a woman. Lord, thank you for making me a man. Because women have so much to do. I don't know how they do it. I would go crazy with all of what a woman does. And I don't know how they do it. But, you know, at the same time, keep first things first. The laundry's important, but not as important as your one-year-old that's over playing with a light socket. Amen? So, it's important to keep your eyes peeled for danger. Some mothers don't even know where their kids are at any given time. Sometimes Jenny and I are following a school bus, and we see these little kids getting off the school bus, and there's nobody at the corner. They're getting dropped off at the corner of a street, and there's nobody there to pick those kids up. There's nobody there to walk them home holding them by the hand. Nobody, a little four-year-old, a five-year-old. It's unbelievable how mothers can just take their eyes totally off their kids and give no attention to it whatsoever. You can set them down in front of the electronic babysitter and let them program your children. That has to be overseen as well. A good mother should be able to foresee the danger ahead. The Bible talks about the prudent man foreseeth evil. Foreseeth it. You don't have to react. It's better that you act. React means, oh, there's danger here. Somebody got hurt. Okay, this is what we need to do. Acting is much better than reacting. Acting says, you know what? That light socket, my daughter's been playing with that light socket. I need to get those light socket protectors, and put those things in there. That'd be a good thing to do. You know what I need to do? I know they don't always go over to the basement stairs, but it'd probably be good for me to put a gate at the top of the basement stairs just in case. That's called prudence. That's looking ahead. Seeing that's a potential hazard. You know, when there's a cord across the floor, that's for someone to trip. You know, now that Miss Jenny and I are so much older, we have to be very careful. We have three cats, and cats have an uncanny desire to want to get right in front of your feet. Right in front of your feet. I mean, come on, go behind me or something. Not right in front of my feet. One of these days, we're going to go down, and it's not going to be pretty. That's 250 pounds of Italian hitting the floor. That's not going to be pretty at all. All right. The poor mother lies lifeless, her arms limply draped around the offspring she tried so desperately to protect. She was an octopus. Her mission as a mother was nearly impossible. After laying thousands of eggs in a nest, she stood guard for months to ward off the crabs and fish hovering hungrily nearby. The mother octopus couldn't afford to wander off to find food for herself. If she did, it would have been at the expense of her little ones. Instead, she steadfastly tended to her eggs, aerating them, carefully removing debris with her long arms, and protecting them. In the process, she starved to death. Her efforts, though, made it possible for a few of them to grow into adult octopi. What a beautiful example of self-sacrificing motherhood. Point number three, her young ones also suck up blood. It says that she slays it rather than someone else doing it and just going down and stealing what someone else did. She prepares the meal herself. She doesn't fly through carcass carryout or dead dog drive-through. She kills it herself. And that's what, you know, if health and nutrition develop more, their bones and their muscles and their brain, input's going to equal output. Some of you mothers maybe can't stand the thought of making Precious eat something they don't like. I hope you're smarter than that. Precious does not need to always tell you what they want. Your home and your kitchen is not a diner. You make the food. You tell Precious to eat the food. Now, I am in agreement that they don't always need to clear their plates. If they're full, they're full. And, Mom, you have enough wisdom to know when that is. If they take one bite and say, I'm full, and then they say, can I have my dessert now? Obviously, we figure that one out, right? But, you know, to allow a child to tell you what they'll eat and what they won't eat. My mom and dad never allowed that. You eat what's on your plate, even if you have to sit there for an extra half hour after everyone's gone. You eat what I put in front of you. I'm your mother. I determine what's best for you. I'm going to put it on your plate. You eat it. Wow. That almost sounds Bible, doesn't it? When God says, I'm going to put it on your plate, you eat it. I don't care if you like it or not. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Most kids, you know, when I ask them and they tell me they don't like something, I say, have you ever had it? They go, no. You've never had it? No. How do you know you don't like it? I just know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So, yeah, I know that's not probably real popular. We like to feed our kids what they like. Okay. And that's good. As long as what they like is good for them. Right? We don't need cotton candy Christianity. It's just sweet, goes in your mouth, dissolves quickly, and has no nutritional value whatsoever. We don't need that. So, you know, be careful, too, about telling your girls that you hate being a bread maker, because that's as bad as a man telling his sons that he hates to be a breadwinner. All right, let's look at the eagle's discipleship. This is where it gets interesting. Time to train these little guys. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 says, an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. The eagle stirreth up her nest. So when she builds her nest, she constructs it by first laying down briars, jagged stones, and sharp objects, which seem to be unsuitable for a nest. She then covers the sharp objects with a thick layer of wool, feathers, and the furs of animals she has killed. The day will come when mother will stir up the nest. With her sharp talons, she will tear away some of the soft, downy lining so that her little ones will feel the sharp edges underneath. Up to this time, their food has been dropped into their mouths, but now the young birds become so miserable that they are willing to get out and begin looking for their own. This is the mother's objective. She's not being cruel, but is instinctively producing discontent with the old life of ease, spurring them on to full development. You see the mother's strategy? You see what God placed in that mother? All those sharp objects underneath the nice soft fur, and those babies are sitting on that fur in that nest saying, this is great, mom is great, mom is great. And that nice soft fur, and oh, mom protects us and mom feeds us. All I got to do is, mom feeds me, mom's protecting me, everything's good, life is great, it's sunny out here, oh boy. And then mom says, it's about time you learn to feed yourselves. It's about time you learn to work. It's about time you learn how to fly. It's about time you learn how to be an eagle. And mom pulls away the fur. And what's under there? Briars, sharp stones, pieces of glass, sharp rocks. And all of a sudden the babies are going, man, home just isn't what it used to be. You know? Good night, Ma. What are you doing? Ma, get a life. This is terrible. And you say you love us. You don't love us. Mom knows exactly what she's doing. It's time for you to grow up. And some mothers, from experience, would rather have little Johnny and little Sally tied to their apron strings until they're 40. And that's not wise. We have to teach our young ones how to fly. We have to teach them how to be eagles. We have to teach them how to hunt for their own food, how to make their own food, how to build their own nest, how to protect themselves against predators, how to fly and soar and be an eagle. But we have to first produce a little discontent for that to happen. Now, I remember we had an Indian truck driver that visited our church. He was going up and down I-40 every night. He'd be going up and down I-40. He'd be listening to our broadcast on the radio. And all of a sudden, one day he comes and visits the church. He goes, I've been listening to you for 2 years. Just haven't had the opportunity to come and listen. Now I want to come in here. I want to sit down. My job has changed, and I want to come in here and sit down. I want to get it firsthand, live. And I remember I'd be preaching my heart out. He'd be going, amen, amen, praise the Lord. That's good preaching. Amen, that's good, that's good. And that lasted for about 3 months until the amens turned to oh me's because the preaching got personal. Basically what happened was the furs were being pulled away and he was having to sit on some thorns and briars and sharp sticks and rocks and glass. And he really didn't want to fly. He just wanted to sit back and shout amen. And the Lord had different plans for him. But, you know, we can do the same thing with our children. You know, our son, Aaron, he was 18. And at 18, he had a good paying job. He went into IT and he got a good paying job. And so he started to pay rent. And that was good. But then, you know, Aaron got to be like 21 or 22. and he was climbing the corporate ladder, man, and he was making good money, very good money. And I said, okay, Aaron, I just want you to know that he was just getting ready to turn 21, I believe. I said, Aaron, yeah, now that you're making well over $50,000 a year, if you're going to live at home and continue living here, your mom cleans your clothes, your mom makes your food and all the rest, I think you owe me what you would pay to an apartment down the street, since you're making such good money. And we'll still make your food and we'll still clean your clothes. You just pay me, you know, $500-$700 a month, the same you would pay an apartment. Guess what Aaron did? He found himself an apartment. He found himself an apartment. Then he got married. Then he bought a car. Then he bought a house. Matter of fact, he never even had an apartment. No, he went and just bought the house. And he did all that because we pulled back some fur. We pulled back some of that soft, downy lining. And he was getting poked in the fanny with sharp briars and a little bit of glass. And, you know, to this day, he thanks me. To this day, his mother thanks me. It wasn't, she'll be honest with you, that was her baby. It was a little harder for mom, but she trusted me. She trusted my judgment. And to this day, she says, it's the best thing you could have done for him. And I'm thankful for it. But we had a lot of mama's boys in our church at that time. And everyone was being just like Aaron. Aaron was kind of like the leader. So I said, if I kick Aaron out, I wonder what happens to the rest of them. All the rest of them followed suit. All the parents got tough. All the parents started pulling back the fur. And all these boys, you know, they're in their 20s. All these boys all of a sudden go get a job. They're getting married. They have kids. I mean, they're buying houses. And they're all very happy. And they're all serving the Lord in our church like you would not believe. They're soul winners, man. That is wonderful. But they just have to be told, it's time for you to fly. It's time for you to kill. It's time for you to work. It's time for you to make your own nest. It's time for you to learn how to protect yourself against predators. I'm not going to be here forever. And if I've got you on my apron string or your mama's apron string, then, no, I don't have an apron string because I don't cook. So on mama's apron string, then, you know, when we go, you're going to be left not knowing how to do these things. So that's why God puts it in the eagle to do that. Now, it says that she fluttereth over her young. Since the timid little birds tend to stay in the security of the nest, mother wildly flaps her wings. Some of the eagles don't get the hint, even though they're on the sharp rocks and the briars. So what mother does, as the babies are sitting there trying to relax and sunbathe and just enjoying mom's protection and dropping food in their mouth, yeah, it's a little sharp underneath, but not as bad as having to go out and kill it myself. So I think I'll just sit right here. So then mom does this. And little baby eagle says, Ma, will you give it a break? I'm trying to take a nap. And you're going crazy over the top of the nest. How do you expect me to rest when you're acting like a lunatic? And that's what Mama Eagle does. Until which point those babies say, I've had it. Enough is enough. I'm going to fly. And sometimes mommies have to do that. It's important. It's important. Now, if Mother Eagle was like some moms I have known in the past, while the babies were sleeping, she'd be plucking out their feathers so that they can't fly away. So they'll be attached to her forever. And she bends over with her beak and pulls out another feather and then pulls out another feather. And then they try and fly away. They want to fly away. Mom says, no, you stay right here with me. I want you dependent upon me until you're 70. And I'll tell you, there's been some extreme examples that I have seen. But it's important. How many kids are still at home that should have flown the coop because mom caters to their every need? The eagle spreadeth abroad her wings. She teaches them how to fly before making them fly. And more things are caught than taught. So she says, this is how it's done, chickie-poos. And I wonder why so many kids that are in Bible-believing churches have not yet learned how to fly. Teach them how to work. Teach them how to witness. Teach them how to tithe. Teach them how to be thankful. Teach them how to be faithful. You know, my first wife would spend 45 minutes every morning doing Bible teaching to my children. Every morning, 45 minutes. So it's a church service. And then on top of that, they had their homeschooling. Then after that, they had their chores. So, you know, it was, and then they had homework. So they were taught how to work. They were taught how to learn how to fly. But if we don't make them fly, some of them never will. Joseph Gabor grew up in communist Czechoslovakia, and religion was despised as weakness. His father taught communist doctrine classes, but Joseph's mother, who believed in Jesus Christ, took Joseph and his brother with her to church. They got up early each Sunday and took a 3-hour train ride to Prague. Then they walked to the church and sat through a 2.5-hour service. See, I don't preach that long. After eating lunch in a nearby park, they returned to church for another 2.5-hour service. Then they took a 3-hour train ride home. Today, Joseph Gabor is a missionary to his own people in Czechoslovakia. When he tells about going to church as a child, his eyes fill with tears of gratitude for a mother who cared enough to endure such hardness. Now, you think what I've shared with you is tough? I'll share tough with you. Susanna Wesley's Rules for Raising Godly Children. She was the youngest of 25 children. She had 19 kids of her own, including John and Charles Wesley. I think she knows something about raising kids. Number one, eating between meals is not allowed. How about that one? You think I'm tough? As children, they are to be in bed by 8 p.m. Period. No questions. Required to take medicine without complaining. Subdue self-will in a child and those working together with God to save the child's soul. Subdue their self-will. To teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. Require all to be still during family worship. Give them nothing that they cry for and only give what is asked for politely. Require no daughter to work before she can read well. Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Never punish a child twice for a single offense. Commend and reward good behavior. Any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Preserve property rights, even in the smallest matters. Strictly observe all promises. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. And lastly, teach children to fear the rod. Susanna Wesley, raising boys like John and Charles. See, as the eaglets reluctantly leap from the nest perched on a craggy precipice, they are met by the horrific sight of the jagged canyon below. Weak and helpless, they flutter downward toward the rocks. Mom finally gets them out of the nest. They're finally jumping, and they're flapping like crazy and just descending because they haven't really learned how to do it yet. They're going down. Remember, she's high up on the rocks, and they're going down toward the rocks below, the jagged rocks below. So letter D, the eagle's direction. The first thing is the eagle taketh them. If they won't leap, their mother will push her young out of the nest. She will let a frightened fledgling drop 90 feet or more before she swoops down under them and carries them back to safety. And that little eaglet says, "Phew, that was close. Now I'm going to take my nap. Time to relax now. That was pretty traumatic. I think I'll just take a nap now." Mom kicks him out again. And mom will do that every 15 minutes until the baby finally learns to fly on its own. She'll keep throwing that little eagle out of the nest, down toward the rocks, swooping down under, catching that, bringing it back, until that eagle learns how to fly on its own. So, you know, if a child has a tantrum, you don't stop disciplining until which time the tantrum stops. Just like mom here. This baby jumps out. I'm not flying. Listen, I don't care what you do. I'm not flying. Mom will keep doing that every 15 minutes till that baby finally flies on its own. And let me tell you something else, Mom. We don't count to five. One, two, three. I really mean it. Three and a half. Yeah. You know when that wouldn't be such a good idea? Is if your child was playing in the road. When I remember one time, I even forgot what it was. I was with my boys, we were in the woods, and there was a limb, and we were riding bikes, and they were going fast, and they had turned around, and they weren't looking where they were going, and there was a low limb coming right for their heads. And all I did is I shouted, "Stop!" And immediately both boys stopped. I didn't have to count to five, because they probably wouldn't be here if I had. But you need to tell your children to obey immediately. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Period. You don't count to five. You know, your children are pretty smart. And, you know, one says to the other, "Don't worry about it. She's only at four." Kids are smart. All right. So, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way they should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. My mother would never allow me to quit anything. Nothing. I wanted to quit Boy Scouts. You will not quit. You started, you will now finish. She pushed me until I became an Eagle Scout. She pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. I started wrestling. I wanted to quit wrestling. You started it, you'll finish it. You get back in there and you finish. You're not going to be a quitter. I remember my second year of college, I got into too much partying. I was lost. I was into too much partying, and I actually got kicked out of engineering school. My dad said, "Just go get a job." You know, he was fed up with me. But my mom says, "You won't quit, son. You go back in there, you talk to the dean, and you tell him you'd like a second chance and that you're going to do better. You get back in there and you behave and you do what you're supposed to do. Fly!" And I did, and I got my engineering degree. But all I can say is I had a mom that would not allow me to quit. Don't be so easy on your kids. If they make a commitment to something, make them see it through. It's good for them. It builds character. Builds character. So, Deuteronomy 6:7 is not in your notes, but I'm going to read it anyway. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So, any of you men want this job? I mean, I don't. It's 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year. No coffee breaks, lunch, no PTO, no vaco, and no pay. So, anybody want that job? I wouldn't want that job. But if the babies were not shoved out, they'd be content to remain indefinitely, never learning to soar. Are your kids choosing to sit on sticks, briars, and jagged stones rather than learning how to fly? Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Ladies, look at that. It says the rod and reproof. Just scolding them is not enough. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So, you know, they have this new, my wife was telling me about this new theory they have out now where you can reason with your child. You know, just sit your two-year-old down and tell, reason with a two-year-old as to why they need to behave. Why they need to do what you're asking them to do. You're going to sit there and have a reasoning conversation with a two-year-old. I'll tell you what they understand. They understand that rod a whole lot more than your explanation. And, you know, do what needs to be done to correct the behavior. Amen? All right. The Eagles' defense. The eagle beareth them on her wings. The adult bird spreads her wings and swoops down under them when they are weary of flying. And when she swoops down underneath them, any archers or hunters from beneath will not be able to attack the baby because it's on the back of mama. And mama should be running interference for her young against the predators of this world. One by one, they light on her back and are carried safely to the other side of the gorge. The Bible says in Exodus 19:4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Carrying your child is only right if it's carrying them closer to God. Some actually carry their children further from God due to over-mothering, and you keep them from flying. But every wise mother in the wild knows instinctively when it's time to drive them from mom. I remember that with bears. When a bear has cubs, and then at a certain age, those bears will stay with mama. Are you kidding me? Mama feeds them. Mama, you know, free milk. You know, mama protects them and all the rest. But then when it gets time for mama to have more cubs to mate again, she's driving those other cubs away. She's driving them away. You need to go. I got to start raising some other ones. You've been taught already how to take care of yourself. Now you're on your own. Nature teaches us, just like I said at the very beginning. God has instinctively put this into the animal kingdom. Every wise mother in the wild, like I said, knows instinctively when to drive them away from mom. When kids overstay their welcome at home, it's because parents provide everything. And I've seen it. It's happened in our own family with my cousins and friends where mom provides everything. Mom does everything. Mom takes care of everything. And those kids don't have a need of anything. And I don't know, but I bet you that the greatest young people you have in this church were made to work, we're disciplined, we're taught how to love God. I bet your church isn't that much different than our church back in Tennessee. And it goes without saying that these things are instinctively put into the animal kingdom. God would absolutely want them to be in us. And we know that they are, totally supported by the Word of God. Would you be content if your kids moved right next door and remained dependent upon you forever? Today, like I said, most of these young men from our church anyway, and young ladies, you know, young ladies, I believe, need to stay with their dad, or at least under their dad's authority until which time they're married. You know, the authority passes from one man to another. But when they're out there totally on their own, you show me in Scripture where that's supported. That's not. It goes from one man to another. That's why who gives this woman to be with this man? I do. It goes from one man to the next. So it's important that, you know, you're careful and raise your children the way the Bible would have you do it. All right, the next one is eagle's drive. And in Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's? The eagle lives and retains his vigor to a great age, beyond the common lot of other birds. He molts in his old age and renews his feathers, and with them his youth. And then a verse we all know so well, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher from years ago in England, wrote this: let mothers labor to make home the happiest place in the world. If they are always nagging and grumbling, they will lose their hold on their children, and the boys will be tempted to spend their evenings away from home. Home is the best place for boys and men, and a good mother is the soul of home. The smile of a mother's face has enticed many into the right path, and the fear of bringing a tear into her eye has called off many a man from his evil ways. The boy may have a heart of iron, but his mother can hold him like a magnet. And the devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother alive. Great is thy power, O woman. Women that can't endure pain and hardness, they're not eagles, they're canaries, because they only sing about it. You know, you need to have some endurance. You need to renew your strength. And what did I say to you the other day? Every day there needs to be a crucifixion. I die daily. And every day there needs to be a resurrection. The inward man is renewed day by day. Every day a crucifixion, every day a resurrection. And that eagle renews its strength, and we can renew our strength when we walk in the Spirit of God. God renews our strength. Psalm 113. Oh, I should tell you this too. There was an eagle that died in Vienna, Austria, after a confinement of 104 years. They can go 21 days without food. When an eagle senses it's about to die, it leaves its nest. It flies to a rock, fastens its talons on it, looks straight into the setting sun, and dies. That's how an eagle dies. Now, if an eagle is being pursued, and there's another eagle, it would have to be a big bird, but another eagle going after this one, it flies directly into the sun so that the sun blinds the one trying to get it. And it blocks it out, and it escapes. It flies directly into the sun. So, you know, kind of like what we're told to do. When you're really struggling and predators are after you, go to the sun. Go toward the sun, and he'll help you. So, if he made you have a heart for your home and made you to joyfully raise your children, would you praise him? Psalm 113, verse 9 says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. I hope you are a joyful mother of children. An article appeared in a newspaper about a small boy who went to the lingerie department of a store to purchase a gift for his mother. Bashfully, he told the clerk that he wanted to buy a slip for his mom, but he didn't know her size. The lady explained that it would help if he could describe her. Was she thin, fat, short, tall, or what? Well, replied the youngster, she's just about perfect. So the clerk sent him home with a size 34. The article followed up by reporting that a few days later, the mother came to the store to exchange the gift. It was too small. She needed a size 52. The little fellow had seen her through eyes of love, which didn't take into account the exact dimensions of the tape measure. Yeah, boy, to have kids that will grow up one day and just say, thank God for my mother. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works, her children, praise her in the gates. And lastly, 3 John verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk or fly in truth. A godly mother is just that. She's majestic. She's an eagle. She soars. So, Mom, the question for you tonight is, will your own works praise you when the time comes? Will your children know how to fly? Will they know how to take care of themselves? Will they know the Lord? Will you give them a sure foundation to build their lives upon? Will they be able to protect themselves against predators? Will they be able to feed themselves? Will they be in church after you're long gone? Will they still be in church? Will they still be serving the Lord? I hope so. And as Charles Spurgeon said, "Mama, as long as you're alive, there's no young man or young woman on earth of yours that is without hope." Amen. Preacher.
Let's stand together this evening. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Again, we'll not sing a song of invitation tonight. We want you just